Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10. Want to remind you that Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time. Brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman. They all set the stage for all the biggest matchups. And then we have a triple header of games, starting with Iowa at Iowa State at noon, followed by Oklahoma State at Oregon and Michigan at Oklahoma. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are talking Atlanta Falcons football with you at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. What do you guys think? Had a great group of callers last segment. Got some more time for you. We're going to hear from Raheem Morris at the top of the hour as he joined Dukes and Bell for his first of many weekly visits this season. We'll also hear from Michael Penix Jr., QB1. How about that for a first day? Oh, pretty good. You got coach and QB1 on the show.
Hey, I mean, if you're going to start yeah, high.
That's,
yeah.
That's kind of why we're the home of the Falcons.
The official home of the Falcons. The only place you'll hear Coach Raheem and a player every week.
That's right. Why are we whispering? We should be shouting that from the rooftops.
There you go. Yes.
We should be shouting that from the rooftops. Before we get into some headlines for the day, again, continue to take your calls at 404-726-0929. Did you see this Kawhi Leonard story? What is going on?
So, 2 years ago, Kawhi signed a deal. He re-signed with the Clippers. And everyone talked about how, oh, that's below market value. That's not a max contract at all. Oh, maybe what he's doing is he's allowing the Clippers to still build a team to where if they want to re-sign James Harden in a couple years, they can. Or if they want to re-sign, say, I don't know, Paul George last summer, they could. He took something like, I think, $15 or $20 million under market value for what he was supposed to be getting for a 4-year deal. It's like, oh, what a stand-up guy, commendable guy.
Well, today we find out
why he took less money, I guess.
If anybody missed it, Pablo Torre, who is good, if there's a journalist,
Woodward and Bernstein,
yeah,
right
there's
now,
a journalist
man.
Of the year award, journalist of the year award, he gets it. He discovered that there was a shell company set up by Steve Ballmer and Co. To essentially funnel money to Kawhi Leonard and to the tune of $28 million to do, wait for it, nothing.
Good old no-show $28 million job.
It was supposed to be essentially like an NIL deal almost, like a name, image, likeness. He was going to do commercials and social media posting and all this stuff. Not 1 ounce of movement from Kawhi Leonard and 28 mil just.
It reminded me of back in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, late 90s, when college football players weren't allowed to hold jobs over the summer, unless for like weird sort of special circumstances. They could only work a certain number of hours a week. And you would see these college football players at car dealerships. Or I got a job working at a car dealership, but they'd never show up at the car dealership. And they'd walk away with like 15, 20, 30 grand.
Or they just signed a bunch. They just signed a bunch of jerseys.
Signed a bunch of stuff. And hey, yeah, I worked over the summer. I know you did it.
But I don't think any of them ever made $28 million.
That did not happen. That's more money than they made.
Unbelievable. 404-726-0929.
But the thing too, Chris, is if it comes out, because the NBA now has announced they're going to investigate this, I don't know how much trouble Ballmer is going to get in, but there's precedent set in 2000 with the Timberwolves,
right?
Yeah, they signed Joe Smith to like 3 consecutive, something like under market deals with the idea that, all right, we'll sign you to a bigger deal later on. And the NBA found out what was going on, and they took 5 first round picks from the Timberwolves. 5 first round picks. They suspended the coach and GM for an entire season. On top of that, a multi-million-dollar fine. So there's precedent set to where, hey, if it comes out that the Clippers were, or Ballmer was sort of in the wrong with this, Dude, they're going to hammer you.
I was listening to Pablo today doing an interview, and he said that what he found out is that they could actually void the contract, which would be crazy. But the Clippers might be like—
They also did it for Joe Smith, too. They voided his contract.
The Clippers might be like, well, you know what? We might have dodged a bullet there. 404-726-0929. Back to your calls, then we'll hear some sound from Coach Morris coming up next segment. Don, start us off in this segment. Don, go ahead.
Turtle, how you doing, man? Long-time listener, man.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves with this whole Tampa thing, man. Tampa's more concerned about Atlanta than we are with them. Tampa owns the division, but we own Tampa. You know, I think we're going to be just fine with our rookies, and that's all I got.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. 404-726-0929. We owned the Bucks last year, right? Let's not make it out to be it's been a clean sweep the last couple of years. Although I do agree, Don, I do think the Falcons should be the favorite this year. I have no doubt about that. But it's just a lot to ask of four rookies to come in and have an instant impact and try to hold down one of the best offenses in the game. That's all I'm saying. 404-726-0929. Our buddy Yo is up next. Yo, what do you think?
It's not just that it's four rookies. I mean, it's the two best pass rushers out of the SEC last year. I mean, we have Jalen Walker. We have James Pierce Jr. And by the way, they're the backups to the guys who were actually going to run out there. So I am okay and confident in there. The secondary, we had problems in our secondary last year because we couldn't get pressure. So those two guys that we got are ball hawks. I'm totally okay there. But let's go down this road that you're talking about is, can the offense hold up while the defense may struggle a little bit? The last time we saw Bijan Robinson on the field, he put up a buck 70. The last time we saw Michael Penix Jr. on the field, he was dotting up the freaking Carolina Panthers. And our problem was is that we didn't have a pass rush, so we could not affect that midget over in North Carolina. So I am totally in on the Falcons going in this season and dominating the competition. And I hope Zach Robinson is listening. Listen, brother, all gas, no brakes. I need you to go Steve Spurrier on the NFL. There is a record for scoring in a season. I want you to try and break it. If you're up by four touchdowns, sure, run it a little bit, but you know what? Come up with that play-action pass and dot them again. I need dominance, brother. That's what I'm looking for out of the season. I love my Falcons. This is going to be a great year. My wife is standing here right next to me. We got our season tickets. We are ready for Sunday. Let's roll, brother.
All right, yo. Appreciate it, man. Thank you, as always, for checking in. I agree. You had me. You were rolling until the last part. You had me. I was all in. I was on the hype train, and you had me rolling just until that last little part right there. I'm just not 100% sure. I'm just not 100% sure that should be the game plan, yo. This team, what do the Falcons do best? We know what they do best. Run the ball. Now, again, on Sunday, they may not have a choice. Because if they're put in a position here where they're down a couple of scores, or even if they're keeping up tit for tat, they're just going to have to keep rolling. If Tampa Bay is scoring and the Falcons are scoring, you can't all of a sudden try to change the momentum and just stop the game to a halt. It doesn't work like that. So we're going to have to see. But I just don't know if your strategy there is what's best for the Falcons, to try to just score. Because at the end of the day, this is a run-first team, and that's their identity. You mentioned Bijan Robinson and how good he was. That's their game plan. He's their first and second down option. We know that. That's not a surprise to anybody. But the hope is on third down now with Penix at quarterback, you open up that play-action game book, and you got a whole new world of plays in front of you for Zach Robinson. Good stuff, yo. Appreciate it, as always. Bill's up next. Bill, what do you think?
I don't know how many people watch Falcons.com, but Penix came out the locker room and said, when I throw, I'm not missing nobody. So his confidence is off the scale. I would have a problem if it was Jimmy Lakes running that defense. But because you have Ulbrich, I think he's going to scheme and have that defense to where they can – I don't like the word dominate, because Tampa's not the same team we played that we beat twice last year. They did some player rollovers too. So I think with Ulbrich and Penix, the way he can dart the ball across the field, and then keep defenses. He can look defenses off with his helmet. I think those two is going to make the difference in the Falcons and what they're able to do, not just with Tampa, but with a lot of teams. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, Bill, appreciate it, man. Good stuff. I tend to agree, but that's why we're asking the question, right? I think the Falcons can hang, but what is the defense going to do? To me, I agree. My concern is not so much about the offense, but it's just about can the youth in the pass rush and in the secondary hold up against a very good offense, even without Wirfs. You saw they just gave their right tackle $90 million. You don't do that by accident. They're really good. Baker was an all-pro last year. You know what Mike Evans is. Ibuka looks like he's going to be a stud. Otten is a nightmare matchup. He gives you fits every time you play him. I'm just saying. The defensive secondary, it's not a lack of faith. It's just acknowledging that it's a big task ahead of them on Sunday. 404-726-0929. Anthony's up next. What do you think?
What's going on, Turtle? How we doing, my brother?
I am great, man. Thanks for asking.
It is a season for optimism, okay? So I'm going to take a trip down memory lane, right? Last time we had four rookies on the defense that we're going to have significant playing time, right? 2016, right? Now, my question to you, do you feel better about this class of rookies than you did in 2016? Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I do, right? I think we got ball hawks in the secondary. I think you've retooled the pass rush. So as far as our defense goes, our offense, in my opinion, can help out our defense. And by doing that, be that explosive offense. Because in 2016, you knew you had a defense that had to get better as the season went on. So you put pressure by scoring. And when you do that, you put the opposing offense in obvious passing situations. That way you let James Pierce, Leonard Floyd, let all them gentlemen pin their ears back, go get the quarterback. I think you have to score on offense. Your defense will continue to get better as the years. As the year goes on, you're going to put pressure, and then those ball hawks that you drafted, not including Jesse Bates, get the turnovers, get it back to the offense. I think this is going to be a fantastic year for us. We're going to put the NFL on notice. I hope you have a great night, Turtle.
Appreciate it, man. Great stuff, Anthony, 404-726-0929. Now, Oren, I'll ask this question of you because I was not here. In 2016, I was, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you saying I was breaking down the Falcons roster. I was not. I was not here yet. In 2016, do you feel better, worse, or about the same about the state of the defense as you do this year?
Better? Because, I mean, that defense wasn't exactly a world beater. But like he said, when the offense was as good as they were and able to score points, you put pressure on the opposing defenses to have to pass every single play. So this defense, I would say, top to bottom, is probably a bit more whole than what that defense was. You had Trufant out there at cornerback. You had an A1 corner. I feel better about the second and third corners on this team than I did that 2016 team. You had to play, you know, an aging Dwight Freeney in that 2016 team. And granted, Dwight still had a little bit of juice left, but Dwight was 34, 35 on that Falcons team and had to go out there and give you meaningful snaps.
How old is Leonard Floyd?
Leonard Floyd's, I think, 32.
So. Well, actually, he's about to turn 33.
Meanwhile, I guess he's not that far off from
– in a week, but he's turning 33.
He can be more – he'll be on the field more, playing more than what Dwight
He's essentially expected to be your best rusher this year.
Yeah.
By statistics. So we'll see. I mean, listen, I wasn't here, so I'm not going
to. But in 2016, too, it turned for you at a point during the season. It was you had a couple of games. Like you had a game against Kansas City that year where Kansas City, Eric Berry outscored the offense by himself. But it turned for you. Once it turned for you, it got really, really good. But there was a point during that season where you had a crossroads and you didn't know if this Falcons team was going to go up or going to go down either. So,
yeah, I think at the end of the day, again, I'm not panicking by any stretch of the imagination. I just think as we get a little closer to the game and you start to look at the matchups, you just realize how much of a challenge it's going to be for Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts in their first real action in the NFL. And how much James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker should be able to contribute week one of their NFL career. Great stuff on the phones. We'll take more calls later. If you're on hold, stay there or give us a buzz back. I will take more of your phone calls coming up in just a little bit. When we get back, let's hear from head coach Raheem Morris. He stopped by with our boys Dukes and Bell for the first of many visits this season. What does he think about the matchup for week one versus Tampa? Don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight, 92.9 The Game.